Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's the Noble Jackson Show here for the 9 o'clock hour statewide. If you want to call in, talk to the producer. He'll get your message to us, and we will read it on the air and comment. 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970, or send it in on the Montana Talks app. I brought up school choice just because, you know, like global warming, school choice is one of those issues that I particularly care about. I think we could make very good positive changes in a good direction if we actually implemented school choice. I was suggesting that there are constitutional limitations on true school choice here in Montana, which triggered a message from Pat in Livingston. Pat in Livingston says, you were talking about school choice. I was a school board member for 9 years, legislature for 2. We have a constitutional issue with funding school choice is wrong. The Constitution limits the money going towards a religious entity, but it doesn't limit the ability to implement school choice. With school choice, you're funding the student's education, not the school itself. I don't even know if there's a problem with public funds going to religious schools. At least under the U.S. Constitution, I thought the U.S. Supreme Court had recently said that's not an issue, right, John?
I think I heard the same thing, yep.
So anyway, I mean, I know it's a complicated constitutional law topic and things like that, but certainly is something that, frankly, I need to do more research on myself and figure out what exactly we need to do to get true school choice here in Montana. But John, we were just talking about Sydney Sweeney, one of the great actresses out there, and she was recently, you know, she got in all that controversy for being in an advertisement for jeans where it said good jeans, and then some reporter asked her, hey, are you going to apologize for you know, how inappropriate for a white person to say they have good jeans? How are you going to apologize for that? What was the response?
The beauty of this is, what have we seen now for the last 10 years? We've had Sports Illustrated turned into the tranny and fat black chick edition rather than actual beautiful women. And they have bullied you over 10 years, telling you now, no, we're going to tell you who's beautiful and what's the standard of beauty out here, what you're supposed to like. And by God, you better be quiet or we're going to accuse you of being transphobic or fat shaming or whatever it is. Well, see, Sydney Sweeney was the first really big advertisement that came out, and here she was, a beautiful woman, just advertising herself in jeans and doing a little wordplay. You know, she's got great jeans, right? Just a little wordplay, and they erupted over this. They thought, we're gonna take this lady down. We're gonna take her and her jeans company down, and it didn't work. It didn't work at all, and she got hit. I believe it was 2 days ago. By this just goof journalist trying to get her back up on it. You know, do you want to apologize for that in any way?
Or saying it's somehow wrong for a white person to say I have good genes.
Yeah, so you want to set the record straight on that? And she just looked deadpan at her and said, no, if I have something to say, I'll say it.
Yeah,
and just left the lady speechless,
which was a fantastic response. I mean, anytime the media asks you to apologize, just say, hey, you know, if I want to, I will.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
I was just about to have to just throw it over to John Jackson here, and then a flood of messages came in, looks like mostly from the top of the hour here. Andy in Whitefish says, David just nailed it, corporate welfare for the medical industry and the grocery industry. And you know what, that Andy, I appreciate that, because I was basically saying, when it comes to Obamacare, when it comes to Medicaid expansion, when it comes to food stamps and SNAP, follow the money. Where's that money going to? It's going to the hospitals. It's going to the hospitals and the medical industry. It's going to big food. And it's like, how many times do you have to analyze a situation and it always comes back to the money? John,
I love that. But did you just coin that right now? Big food. I've never heard that.
I think I've heard that before, but I mean, it really, I mean, we do have big food in this country.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of it's poisonous garbage. I mean, you go to other countries and you don't have all of this processed junk all over the place, and it really is bad.
Oh, my daughter's been getting into that big time, particularly, like, she'll show you about bread. And she saw that on the Joe Rogan show about how your normal loaf of bread in our grocery store is not bread at all. It's processed crapola.
And it's got like 50 ingredients. Your bread should have like 3 or 4 ingredients max, 2 or 3 maybe even. It should be like flour, like yeast, like water and salt or something. And that's it. But you look at this bread in our grocery, and there's 50 ingredients in there.
I had a related story. You and I talked about it here last hour. You guys remember back as the Biden regime went out the door, they threw a giant mud ball at the beef industry, and they were requiring these RFID tags on cattle and requiring the tracking of cattle as they moved across the country everywhere, claiming that, and the beef industry said this put D.C. in charge of every herd, fence, and pasture, okay, done as the Biden regime went out the door. Well, they're just pointing out the other day that this rule is still in effect, like it was due to take effect here just the other day, and they have not rescinded it. This stuff drives me crazy. I feel like Mark Wahlberg in The Departed, right? You know, I'm the guy that does his job. You must be the other guy, because that should have been the first job of these people coming in, whoever's in charge of USDA. Boom, boom, rescinded. Send it up to the president. Boom, rescind it.
Yeah, it honestly makes you wonder why. It also, I mean, I wonder if they've, I mean, because, I mean, Donald Trump has been signing more executive orders, and they've been doing more regulatory reform than, like, any president ever. And so you just wonder, is it really, did it get missed, or is there something intentional here?
That's what, I mean, I don't, how could you miss this? This should have been rule number one. Everything they did going out the door, that should have been your first target. Canceled.
I totally agree. Right on. John in Los Angeles says, it's super easy to pick out a Democrat. They're still wearing COVID masks. I think that's the truth, too.
Did you see that panel up there the other day? I think it was in New York right after Mamdani had won. And it's a bunch of his flunkies sitting around planning what they're going to do. Every single one of them is wearing a mask.
How ridiculous.
They look like fairly youngish people, 20, 30-year-old people. Right. You're like, you people are insane.
Unbelievable. You know, I saw somebody had said what happened on Tuesday was not a Democrat takeover of America. What it was the communist takeover of the Democrat Party.
And a foreign takeover of New York City, a foreign Islamic takeover.
I mean, a literal jihadist. And I mean, and then there's that quote where he's like, this is for the Somalia shopkeepers and the Yemeni, you know, bookstores and the you know, all these different nationalities, and not one word about an American, though.
I saw a great breakdown. A guy did, you know, a multi-paragraph post the other day on X about how he actually sees this breaking down in New York. He doesn't believe that Mamdani is going to be able to do near or close to all the crap he was promising. You know, typical Democrat communist. It's all promises, but then, you know, they eventually don't do it. But he made the point about, he was talking about rent and housing and groceries and all that. And you look at the historical evidence of all of this. He had a great quote at the end. He said, if you think things are expensive now, wait till it's free.
Oh, yeah, that's classic. There's no better way to make something unaffordable than to have the government say it's free. And it's so, I mean, look at how, like, what did the government subsidized health insurance premiums. What did we see happen? Massive skyrocket in health insurance. The government subsidized tuition. What did we see with tuition? Massive. I mean, how many times does it have to happen?
They see it, but like I said, there's always that new generation of voters coming up that have no historical perspective or wisdom, and all they got to do is tell these people, we're going to give you free stuff, and they raise their hand for it every time.
Got a message here from Mary in Butte. Mary says, food stamps were made to help seniors on low incomes to help them or families with young children till age of 2. Yeah, absolutely. Now you're right. Young, able men and women who shouldn't be on it. They get so much if they work 20 hours a week, so now the young people can only make $1,300 a month. If they make over that, their food stamps, Medicaid, and Medicare will be cut off. That's the perfect plan to keep Americans not working so we can hire illegals who also get all these benefits, but the illegals don't get cut off when they make more money, just the young Americans. It's all made that way on purpose, all paid by Americans and their money. Well said, Mary and Butte. Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know what you see? It just occurred to me, what you see in Latin America again, is they have all the problems that we talk about here. But their families, what they do to combat it, because they're not getting any handouts from the government down there. I mean, Zippo. So you will see entire families, say three generations of a family, all continue to live in the same home. They'll have a big home that they all chipped in on or was bought 50 years ago. They all stay in that home, and they all chip in to the general welfare of the upkeep of that family. So that's how they get around, because the government's not handing them anything.
And honestly, you know, and honestly, that's probably better for their family life and their mental health than what we've got here in the U.S. I've always thought these government programs have gone a long way to destroying families in the United States. More with John Jackson right after this.
Fox on Football. I'm Jared Max. For the fourth year in a row, the NFL is playing a regular season game in Germany, in Berlin, for the first time, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday. The 7-2 Indianapolis Colts take on the 3-5 Atlanta Falcons, losers of three games in a row. Indianapolis made a big trade this week. The Colts landed two-time All-Pro cornerback and former Defensive Rookie of the Year Sauce Gardner from the Jets. Gardner has been in the concussion protocol since Week 7. If medically cleared, he would suit up for the Colts for the first time Sunday in Berlin. Tied with Indianapolis for the best record of the AFC, the 7-2 New England Patriots, who have a game Sunday afternoon in Tampa versus the 6-2 Buccaneers. 4:25 Eastern Time kickoff Sunday in Santa Clara. Tom Brady and Kevin Burkhardt will be in the Fox TV booth to call the 49ers-Rams game. Los Angeles tied with Seattle for the NFC West lead at 6-2. The Niners a half game behind at 6-3. Jared Max, Fox News.
With National
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble and John Jackson here filling in. Fred in the Flathead writes in, states are incentivizing Medicaid enrollments. The states make money off matching federal dollars. States also tax the managed care providers. Fred in the Flathead says every federal taxpayer is providing Medi-Cal for illegal aliens in California. He says, remember, Medicaid expansion was the first thing passed in the last Montana legislative session. That allowed them to factor the increases in fees paid by managed care providers. I think he's spot on with a lot of that, John Jackson. And actually, U.S. Representative Ryan Zinke posted a graphic from the Paragon Health Institute about how this California Medicare, Medicaid scam works. Are you looking for that right now? Do you remember how that works?
Here's the graph, and it's basically distilled down. It's exactly what the caller right there just said. Is that they take those matching federal? Well, first they're overcharging the insurance companies, taking those matching federal dollars and then siphoning them off to illegals, and like Zinke said, they have closed that loophole, and that's one of the things that the reason the Democrats are shutting down the government is they want that opened up again. But my question is, how are people not in jail for this?
Yeah, because according to that graphic, it was like not only are they siphoning these funds off, but they're doing an accounting gimmick where they like bill themselves and then they bill the insurance companies.
Yeah.
And then they give the money back to the insurance company, and it's like, oh well, you know, we now we need matching federal dollars. It's like, hold on, you don't get matching federal dollars for just transferring money back and forth, but then they're taking those matching federal dollars and giving it to provide illegal alien healthcare.
Dude, I was a Fed for 30 years. You deal with any kind of federal money, and you're going to be signing a stack of paperwork that would choke a horse. I guarantee you they are committing fraud and malfeasance and money laundering. And, I mean, there's probably 3, 4, 5 crimes involved in this thing. Why are people not going to jail behind this?
I mean, especially when you've got United States representatives like Ryan Zinke tweeting out, here's the graph, here's how the scam works. They know it's happening. They know it's a crime. Where are the arrests?
Like Jim Brown was in here talking about the $50 million of scam that they found just here in Montana. I tell you, we have been jumping up and down like spider monkeys on our spaces now for 8 months about this. $50 million? Dude, it's hundreds of billions of dollars across the country now that all of it is fraud. It's all wire fraud, theft, embezzlement, all of it. And if you went after this, if the Bondi DOJ went after this, it would cripple the illegal alien industry, the homeless industrial complex, and the entire Democrat infrastructure would collapse like a house of cards. And yet we are crickets. I'm not hearing anything.
It's unbelievable. You know what? This California thing reminds me of where they're charging the insurance companies and then they're giving it back to the insurance company and then they're getting matching dollars on that. It's the old joke about, you know, you got two Democrats walking along and they come across the pile of poop and one of the Democrats says to them, "Hey, I'll pay you $100 if you eat that pile of poop." And so then the other Democrat, he eats it and he gives them $100. Okay, they walk a little bit further. They see another pile of poop. Now, the one Democrat that ate it the first time says to the other one, "Hey, if you eat that pile of poop, I'll give you $100. And then they do it, and they do the deal. And then they're walking forward like, "Hey, like, didn't we just both just eat a pile of poop and we didn't make any money?" And then the other one says, "No, we added $200 to the GDP.
I'll tell you, because we're banging our heads on the desk about this for, like I said, 8-9 months, and we're not seeing any movement on it. And my tinfoil hat tells me they're not going after it intentionally, because you know why? Because they're going to catch up half the damn elected Republicans in this crap, too. I mean, Lindsey Graham and all of his Aunt B and all of his buddies will get jammed up in this. It'll sprawl right over onto them. That's why you've got Congress telling the White House, you know, ixnay there. You know, let's leave that alone, shall we?
Yeah. I mean, it's the what California is doing with this and the story I just told also applies equally to what the Democrats are saying about, like Nancy Pelosi at one point said, you know, unemployment is like the best economic driver like we've ever. Do you remember that?
She's such an idiot.
But they also say every dollar on food stamps creates like $1.50 in economic growth or something like that. Like they literally think that government handouts are an economic boost.
Just like they'll try to tell you illegal aliens are an economic boost because we get the people to pick our crops and clean our houses and clean the hotels and all that crap. I mean, not for one second. How big of a moron would you have to believe what these people are taking away? They're crushing every aspect of our economy you name it, housing, groceries, criminal justice, schools, healthcare, all of it. You're talking to the tune of trillions of dollars. They add to the economy. Just stop.
Well, the Democrats will sit there and tell you that, you know, all these illegal aliens and other immigrants where they're adding to our economy, they're a benefit to our culture, they're making our country better, et cetera, et cetera. But then you ask them, if we send them back to their home countries, and that's a benefit to their home country too, right? But no, they won't admit that.
Well, that's the point that everybody's like digging, and you'll see some of the really smart people starting to put these points out, is that you've heard that for years, diversity is our strength. No, it's not. Not at all. We are a very, very special country. We're the most unique, most powerful country on the face of the earth, probably that's ever been. The most dominant country that's maybe ever been. And we are that way for one reason, because we are Judeo-Christian, moral, hardworking people. And here's the truth of it. A great majority of the rest of the world are not. They are not. And when they come here, they're coming here to take from you, not to add anything at all. If they were adding stuff, like you were just saying, their countries would be thriving, but they're not.
Right. It's the most ridiculous thing. Lori E. in Billings writes in. She says, "Can politicians who promote themselves one way during campaigning but then vote the majority of the time with the opposition be sued for false advertising or defrauding the public?" You know, Lori, I would even take it a step further. Are the Democrats committing the crime of fraud when they take the oath of office and promise to uphold the Constitution? I mean, there's lots of fraud. I mean, Democrats are, the entire thing is a fraud. They ought to all be arrested for fraud.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, free speech in the mix. And then fraud itself, I think the way statutes are written is that it's got to be fraud that somehow enriches you in some way, somehow gives you some kind of benefit. Was it, they're going to say, you know, it's just free speech for me to say what I'm saying here, and if you don't want to believe it, then you don't have to. They're not enriching themselves in any way from it.
Yeah, and the real solution is the voting public needs to vote these scoundrels out. That's the real solution. Yeah. Martin in Columbia Falls says, remember when the Dems started Obamacare? When they locked the Republicans out of the room, it was all on them. That's exactly right. That not a single Republican voted for Obamacare. And now here we are with a health insurance and a health care system on the verge of collapse, as far as I can tell. Nobody can afford these premiums. Nobody can afford health care, health insurance. And it's 100% on the Democrats.
We told you so. You know, this ain't my first rodeo, all right? You know, I was a fully grown speaking man back in 2009, 2010, and we told them all. But see, they knew. They knew this was going to happen. It was intentional. Like I said, it was just the tip. Just a tip to get their foot in the door to it for the eventual complete takeover of healthcare.
Yep. And there's no better way to implement socialism than through healthcare, because here's the deal. Once you have the government paying for everybody's healthcare and health insurance, that then justifies the government controlling every aspect of society and because everything impacts health.
And you see these, once again, all the examples of all the countries that have tried this, it fails miserably. Our neighbor to the north, Canada, you have these people that will tell you they're not going to get in for operations or to see doctors for months and months and months. They come running down to the States to pay cash for stuff rather than having to deal with that system.
Yep. And the customer service there is horrible. I still remember one of Steven Crowder's all-time great videos is he went undercover as a patient in the Canadian healthcare system. Steven Crowder, I think, is Canadian. It was some short-haired fat lady working behind the desk, and he was going in like with a serious medical issue and just didn't care at all, didn't care one bit. Said, "Oh yeah, we'll call you in 3 months." He's like, "I've got a serious medical issue. Yeah, we'll call you in 3 months, see ya." Type of service.
Yeah, and forget about anything like these typical things like knee replacements, hip replacements, those things where you don't actually have a broken bone, but you're walking around in pain, you know, every hour of the day. I mean, you're looking at 6 months before they get something like that done for you. Forget it.
No, it's unbelievable. Aaron Flint had a caller on the show the other day down in Mexico for dental work.
Yeah.
Because again, the Democrats have so destroyed and ruined every aspect of our health care and health insurance, including dental work, that now people are going to Mexico for dental work.
Yeah, and I tell you what, you know, you might save a couple of bucks doing that. But now I had a bunch done, you know, in countries I was in. But see, I was in a first world city. I lived in a first world city at the time. And these were gold plated dentists who had gotten their dental degrees up here in the United States.
Right.
So I felt comfortable with them. But some border dentist down there, right, you know, right across the Rio Grande. I don't think so.
Right. John in Kalispell writes in, what does SNAP actually stand for? Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. Emphasis on the nutritional part of that.
You mean it's not Halloween candy? Halloween candy's not nutritional?
I mean, it's got calories. It's got calories. But no, I mean, everybody wants to say, like, if Republicans are out there saying, hey, you know what? Some people are even going a step further and saying, you know, forget just giving out cash to people to buy food. Why not have the government actually provide the food directly?
Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be a great idea. Yeah, let's give them control over that, dude. Dude, like I always say, if they were in control of McDonald's, your quarter pounder would cost $20. It'd take you an hour to get it, and it would taste like crap.
That's right. We got some more messages coming through here. We'll get to those right after this. David Noble, John Jackson, filling in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The United States Supreme Court heard arguments this week on whether President Trump's controversial tariffs can stand under the 1977 International Emergency Economics Power Act. The high court's conservative justices were skeptical of Trump's use of the statute to declare a trade emergency and impose tariffs that have spurred heavy costs on farm exports. Chief Justice John Roberts disputed U.S. Solicitor General John Sauer that the 1977 IEPA law didn't need to use the word tariffs since Congress had already given the president broad foreign policy powers.
The vehicle is imposition of taxes on Americans, and that has always been a core power of Congress. So to have the president's foreign affairs power trump that basic power for Congress seems to me to kind of at least neutralize between the two powers, the executive power and the legislative power.
Solicitor General Sauer stressed that the law gave President Trump tariff powers indirectly.
But it uses the word regulated importation, and historically, a core central application of that, a big piece of that, has always been to tariff.
Justice Brett Kavanaugh was sympathetic to Sauer's argument that President Nixon imposed tariffs using an earlier law, but conservative Neil Gorsuch stressed Congress did not specifically delegate tariff power to the president in 1977. The plaintiff's lawyer, Michael McDonnell, responded.
This is miles away from any delegation we have ever seen.
The Trump tariff case is on an expedited schedule with the Supreme Court. I'm Lee Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey guys, big thanks to our friend David Noble for covering down on this Freedom Friday. Let me tell you real quickly here about a really cool product. This is a veteran-owned company, a Big Fork Montana Marine. I first met Lee back at the inauguration for President Trump. We had a whole great crew of Montanans that were back there for Trump's inauguration. And Lee said, hey, I want to send you a product that I created. I want you to try it out. I gave it a shot. And this is basically like a small energy drink. It's like a shot of power and pain relief all in one. It's called Power Plus Pain Aid. It's like an energy drink, but it's got vitamins. It's, instead of being loaded with chemicals, it's got vitamins in it. Here's the deal. Our friend Lee, a Marine Corps veteran, he's giving you 15% off your orders. Go to drinkpowerplus.com and use this code at checkout, Flint15, Flint15. Use that code at checkout. You'll get 15% off your orders at drinkpowerplus.com.
Got a message here from Lori in Billings. She says, the problem with voting corrupt politicians out of office is they lied to get into office. They do a lot of damage in the 2 to 6 years to vote them back out. And yeah, that is true. They lie to get into office. They lie to stay in. Was there ever as big a liar as John Tester?
I mean, a big liar is actually literally like 350-pound liar or the most lies told. I think he would win both of those.
Hey, so, John, speaking of fat and fat drugs, you know, it's interesting because Donald Trump has always referred to as Ozempic as the fat drug, which I always thought sort of meant like he wasn't a huge fan of it. But there's all of this stuff here this morning coming from the Trump administration yesterday. You know, the Trump administration has been focused a lot on the cost of pharmaceutical drugs. Yesterday, Secretary of Health and Human Services RFK Jr. and Donald Trump had a little press conference in the White House. Donald Trump said Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk are joining the phenomenal list of the most exciting announcements. These are two companies behind the groundbreaking weight loss drugs, fat drugs, Ozempic, whatever you want, GLP-1, whatever you want, that have helped millions of Americans struggling with obesity. President Trump announced that Medicare copays for weight loss drugs will plummet from $1,300 to just $50. RFK Jr. Said, a lot of Americans are about to lose a lot of weight. We will lose 125 million pounds by this time next year. I wouldn't take one of those drugs if there was a gun to my head, if my life depended on it. I'm not putting one of those pills in my body. What about you?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, like, Lost in Space, danger, Will Robinson, danger. Okay, though, as I understand it, those drugs are for diabetes. People with diabetic problems. If you go and start taking this drug just to lose a few pounds, and you take it for any extended length of time, 6 months, a year, something like, guess what you got now? You're going to have a glucose problem in your body. It's the same concept as anabolic steroids. You're going to take that for a certain length of time where your body will stop producing its own testosterone, and now you're going to be on that for the rest of your life. This is dangerous stuff. It's for diabetics, folks. Don't be taking this stuff if you don't have a diabetic problem.
Well, not only that, I mean, just some of the side effects that people are experiencing, even admitted side effects. Now, they'll say, oh, you know, it's rare side effects. Just like all of the side effects from the COVID vaccine were rare side effects, but you've got all kinds of bad things with these GLP-1 drugs, including, you know, stomachs, seizures in your stomachs, paralysis. I mean, my understanding is these drugs partially paralyze your stomach while some people are getting other kinds of paralysis. I mean, some real big side effect problems too. And then, of course, frankly, most of the people that I've seen that are taking these and losing a lot of weight, at least what I've seen online, and you see the before and after, and they're cheeks are all sunken in, like they look like Skeletor. I mean, it doesn't look. I mean, look at like who is the Secretary of State under the first Trump administration that lost like 150 pounds?
Pompeo.
Yeah, Pompeo. He looks terrible now.
Oh, don't get me started on him.
I wanted to get you started on him.
Have you seen him now? Dude is a 100% paid shill Ukraine fluffer. That's all he does is pound the desk for more war, more money for Ukraine. But, and you go down his Twitter feed, it is nothing but that. Dude is a paid prostitute, you know, to keep this war going.
Right. But he also looks terrible because he clearly took Ozempic or something.
And you saw that during COVID. They said some of the people that were at the biggest risk with these already preconditions to die or be hospitalized from COVID was diabetes. It was huge, right? If you take this for any length of time, now you're going to have a diabetic problem, man. That is not something to play around with.
Well, and they want you taking those drugs for life a lot. I mean, that's what they're saying. I mean, they're saying Ozempic you take forever, because the reality is too, is that if once people get off it, they gain the weight right back a lot of times. Because let's be realistic, yeah. The real way to be healthy and to lose weight is to move your body more, exercise, quit eating all this junk food, and just eat less. You know, I saw a bunch of people commenting like, I can't lose weight. I tried and I diet and exercise. I never lose weight and I'm still obese. And it's like, you know what? That's just not how reality works. If you exercise and eat less, you will lose weight.
Yeah, and like, I mean, let's face it. Some people are trapped by their genetics, and you're never going to be in an underwear commercial, right? But you can be in a healthy place in your life by just cutting back on all that processed food and the sugars. That's the big thing. Cut all of that stuff out, and be exercised. You will get to a healthy place.
Yep. So, John, what else do you got to talk about today?
Well, good news out of D.C., out of Washington, D.C., the mayor, Muriel Bowser, is now being investigated by federal law enforcement for taking a foreign trip, that was paid for by a foreign government, the government of Qatar. And see, this is the kind of thing that I was talking about earlier with, it's, you know, right along the same lines as all that money out there being defrauded. All of these people, all of the biggest mouth communist Democrats out here, all you got to do is turn the first page on them, and they're all committing these crimes. And here, you guys, we got 4 years. We got 4 years to take down this satanic cult, because Gavin Newsom comes in here in 28. Look out, brother. It'll be game over.
Absolutely. And it always struck me that they were able to investigate Donald Trump as much as they did, and they never found anything. And my thought always at the time was, there's not a single person in D.C. that could survive getting investigated like Donald Trump did and come out that squeaky clean. I think you're right. I think we need just bare minimum levels of investigation on a lot of these Democrats, and you're going to uncover all kinds of crimes.
It shocked me. I remember when Trump was getting ready to run. He was thinking about running in 2012. And I remember talking to my father about it. I said, I said, you know what's going to come out on him? He was doing business for years in Atlantic City. You know, one of the founders of Atlantic City. You know, he was in with the mob. God, they probably got video of him snorting coke off the backside of a hooker in a suite up there. I mean, God knows the stuff that could come out. But apparently, the man didn't take any of those temptations. They never found a thing on him.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, Donald Trump has never had a sip of alcohol. Yeah. He's never smoked a cigarette. He's never tried a drug. You know, in fact, when people have asked Donald Trump, you know, hey, why are you such a good parent, or how did you raise such good kids? And he always says, you know what? I told my kids, no alcohol, no drugs, no cigarettes. Over and over, no alcohol, no drugs, no cigarettes. And that ought to be pounded into every kid's skull. But you think about Donald Trump and how hard he works, and the fact that he's never drank, he's never smoked a cigarette, he's never done any drugs. I mean, what an incredible man.
Yeah, and you know, Atlantic City, back in those days, you're talking going into the 70s and the 80s, the only way you got a casino and got anything done in that town is because you're dealing with the mob. And so how he managed to walk between the raindrops and never have any of that happen to him or come out, I don't know, but somehow he did.
So Politico Playbook mentioned this, very concerning, I thought. The new governor, Sherrill, I don't know if that's the Virginia or the New Jersey governor.
Jersey.
Okay, New Jersey's new Democrat governor, Sherrill, her day one pledge, declare a state of emergency on utility costs and freeze rates. This is a proof of her mantra, quote unquote, ruthless competence. The fact that they're declaring an emergency on the utility costs and then freezing rates, it's the same with Mom Dami wanting to freeze rents. It's like, you know what happens when you freeze rents and you freeze rates and you do stuff like that? Nobody invests, nobody builds, nobody does anything more. It causes problems. But the mere fact that they're declaring a state of emergency on utility costs, I'm concerned about what else they're going to try to declare states of emergency on, what else they're going to try to do.
Translation, what that means is they're going to start subsidizing it is what that means. And little by little by little, they take the whole thing over. It's just another play, another Obamacare play is all that is.
Yep. The other thing Politico mentioned was she won because of a record field operation, which to me, that means ballot harvesting. That means the street game. These Democrats are good on the ground. You got to hand it to them with this ballot harvesting stuff.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, folks, if you guys need an extra dose of John Jackson after the show today, go to his Twitter account, his X account, at PVTJokerUS. Tune in for the Sunday night spaces that you do?
Sunday night spaces, that would be 5 p.m. Mountain Time, if you're listening here in Montana, 5 p.m. Mountain.
So you're gonna get John Jackson live on X on 5 p.m. Mountain Time on Sundays. You can get more of your boy David Noble, a.k.a. Lecture Fan, LCTRFAN, on YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, and X. Check all those out. John, big news this morning nationally is a bunch of flights getting canceled. And what I found interesting about this, I was reading somewhere else, is that in previous government shutdowns, it's typically been once the flights start getting canceled and you start seeing, I think, you know, thousands and thousands of flights are getting canceled today across the country. Typically, it's been that's actually triggered Congress to finally reopen the government. Because let's be honest, I mean, other than flights getting canceled, I mean, like, most of us, I can't tell the government shut down. I mean, I really can't. It had zero impact on me. But, you know, the flights getting canceled, that impacts a lot of people, and we need, it's critically important for our economy and for individuals to be able to travel. And so that may be something that causes the dam to break in D.C.
I sure hope so. And it must have something to do with the air traffic controller somehow not showing up for work, even when they're required to show up for work. But you've seen post-COVID. Airline travel was already, post 9/11, was already like taking a Greyhound bus. It was terrible. It was miserable. All that TSA. It was just miserable. Now, post-COVID was the final knockout shot for commercial airline travel in this country. It's awful. Every time I have to do it, I dread it. I'm just waiting for the delay that's going to make me miss my connection.
Wait, so you don't like getting yelled at by the TSA people?
Oh, dude. You know, and you know, for 30 years, I carried my weapon around these knuckleheads, and now, the minute I'm retired, I have to, you know, get the Walmart employee gets to feel my junk. You know, I mean, it just drives me crazy. But you talk about...
But at least they use the back of their hand when if they're doing a pat-down and they're checking your junk. They use the back of their hand. They don't use the front of their hand. I know that from recent experience.
It moved, Jerry. I think it moved.
But, oh, my gosh. Okay.
But you talk about people are already mad. People are already furious out there. You know, hundreds of thousands of people going through these airports every day. They're already upset. And you lock them in there and cancel their flights, and they got business appointments to make. They got small children with them. I mean, people are going to be furious. And I hope Trump and his people target, like, Dulles and Reagan Airport right there in D.C. So all these congresspeople trying to go home today or trying to get back next week, They can't do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I don't know if you can transfer air traffic controllers or what, or have them work remote, but yeah, take all the air traffic controllers from D.C. and send them to the regional hubs like Houston or Atlanta, you know, L.A., whatever it might be. Why should anybody else, why should we out here in the heartland suffer canceled flights if we can just push them all into D.C.? I think that's a great idea.
And did you see that story on Nancy Mace last week? I guess it comes out, you know, she was just furious that she didn't get her police escort all the way from the curb all the way to the jetway, right? Because they're special now, because they have these threats, right? So now they get a police escort from the curb around TSA. They get to go through the pilot door and all this stuff. Now, once again, the separate elite class that does not have to abide by all the rules that they put on us.
Right. Insider trading laws, health insurance laws. I mean, go down the list, right? I mean, they never subject themselves to what they put us through.
Hey, here she was. That's her home state. I think it was at Charleston, South Carolina airport. She's in her home state. And all the way from the curb, all the way down the concourse to the jetway, she is screeching and cursing at the police and the TSA about why she didn't get her perfect escort the way she wanted, because obviously she's subject to so many threats.
Not a good look. Not a good look. We got Lanky in Columbia Falls. He says, thanks for the great show as usual. I heard you say that the new mayor won't get a lot done in New York because he will be stifled by other councilors. That sounds like somewhat naive of what communism is. They are not democratic. They will use coercion, bribery, physical force, if necessary, to get their mandate through. Once a coerced city council is fully in charge of all city services, like the UK mandating police and judiciary, life is over as New York now knows it.
Oh, that is a scary thing about what he's saying about the city council up there in New York. They're as crazy as Mamdani or worse. You got one of the Central Park rapists is one of the city council people.
Are you kidding me?
No. He's one of the Central Park rapists. Is on the city council up there. These people are insane.
That's insane. Hey, you said you had a Babylon Bee story? What was that? Because this is probably going to be hilarious.
The Babylon Bee, the funniest people out there in political satire and political writing. If you haven't seen them, go on X. They are the best. They should have their own brand, their own production company out here of comedies.
Well, it's nice to finally see Babylon Bee on X, because back when it was Twitter, you know, they got buried and banned and everything else.
Oh, yeah, because they were doing comedy, and you can't have liberals being mocked up. Here's their headline: Mamdani moves mayor's office under a children's hospital.
Which is hilarious because that's what Hamas does in Gaza.
Exactly.
Yeah. John Jackson never disappoints. Appreciate you being here, John. Cameron and Billings wrote in too, said 100% agree. We should investigate every member of our House and Senate from both houses and then institute term limits. Hey, Cameron, agree with you on that one. Good job. We'll be back. We won't be back.